you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
I'm Austin Cross. Join me for LAist's new live event series with the James Beard Foundation. We Are Where We Eat will go behind the scenes of LA restaurants. The kickoff event is May 22nd. Tickets at LAist.com/events.
This is How to LA, the podcast that connects you with communities and people. I'm Brian De Los Santos. Today, I'm chatting with a fan of the city. If you're a listener of this podcast, I'm pretty sure you've heard about that LA in a Minute guy.
Why is there a castle right off the freeway in this LA neighborhood?
Quality of life really lower than it's ever been?
This is a monument to tiki culture in Los Angeles, which was the birthplace of tiki. Don't believe me? We're
going back. That's Evan Lovett, a homegrown Angelino who started his creator journey just a few years ago. He has a TikTok, Instagram, podcast, YouTube, X, with his LA in a Minute content. His short videos highlight LA from a historic and news perspective, highlighting fun facts and also tapping serious subjects like the mayor's budget. And we all get to hang out with him today. Hey, Evan.
Hello. What's going on, Brian? Thank you for having me.
How was your LA day today?
Whew, good question. Every day in LA is a good day. Today was somewhat relaxed. And you know what? Truthfully, I'm a fan of rain and climate, but I'm a little over the dreary days and the overcast and the cloud. And I love it. I'm usually the guy that's out there trumpeting, holding the flag. Like, I love the rain, but let's go. Let's get into the continuous sunny days of summer. And
yeah, it's cloudy vibes today.
Yes,
it's kind of, you know, it's perfect for a light sweater, but we do want the sun now.
Look, I shouldn't be wearing a hoodie heading into May. I love my hoodies, but come on. Like, dude, let's go. It's got to be tank top weather sometimes.
I feel you. I'm ready for that too. Trust me, I'm on the same boat.
There you go.
All right. I want to start the convo with who you are. And before we delve into your love and podcasts about LA, you were born and raised in the 818.
That's right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Specifically in North Hills, which you referenced to as Sepulveda.
Always got to hold that flag. It was Sepulveda when I was born and raised. And then sometime around my adolescence, it switched over to North Hills. But yeah, it'll always be Sepulveda to me, but respect North Hills.
I love that. We have a little bit of shared history. I just told you that I went to CSUN.
Yeah. Go Matadors.
Hey. And I lived in Sylmar, and I believe you wrote about a close friend that lives in Sylmar, and so you always kind of contribute a little bit of your 818 love to Sylmar as well.
My closest friend, who is my wife, was actually born and raised in Sylmar.
Oh.
Yes. So, and then, well, actually, too, my best friend in sixth grade, Corey Park, was from Sylmar, and I rode my bike once from Sepulveda to Sylmar.
Wow.
As like a 12-year-old or whatever that is. And I remember that being a super long distance, even though it's not really. But yes, I love Sylmar. My wife was still living there when we first started dating. So it's always got a place in my heart. Also, Sylmar is very significant in Los Angeles mm-hmm. and Los Angeles history and infrastructure. So it's a fun little neighborhood that a lot of people don't talk about enough. So
yeah, you posted about the aqueduct.
Yes, the aqueduct, the landfill. Used to be the world's largest olive orchard,
mm-hmm.
Gravity Hill, a lot of people
oh, yes.
have fun with. So Sylmar has some nice history and some fun stuff out there.
It's great out there. We did a podcast about the neighborhood profile of Sylmar because,
yes.
you know, I come from there. I lived there about 6 years. So Sylmar High, shout out to them. It's now a charter high school.
It is. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. It switched along the lines Ooh. In the past few years. So
many high schools turned into charters. It's interesting.
Yeah. So now I got to ask you, where do you live now?
Now I live in Studio City.
Okay. So still in the Valley.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's funny because that was for a while a sore subject with my wife where she's like, I never lived outside of the Valley, even though she studied abroad and lived in Spain. But I'm such a Valley nerd. I mean, I love LA, but I guess it's kind of that familiarity, comfort, now raising a family. Mm. And I'm right by the LA River. I'm right by Ventura Boulevard. So for me, it's a great place to be.
Yeah.
You know, the Valley was always dumped on when I was growing up. And still not as much, but people are like, why do I need to go to the Valley or what's in the Valley and all those kind of tropes and things like that. And I get it. Listen, like there's some good restaurants in the Valley, there's some good places to eat. But listen, when it comes to date night and things like that, we're going over the hill. But the Valley has such a rich culture, community, pride, and all the different neighborhoods. Again, I love uncovering whether it's West Hills or Granada Hills, or why are so many neighborhoods in the Valley have hills when there's not that many hills in the Valley? Where does that come from? But Valley just has Sun Valley. I mean, like in all these high schools with a lot of history, San Fernando High is like this hotbed of politicians. Pauley High School Mayor Tom Bradley, Gail Goodrich, Paul Revere Williams all went to Pauley. So there's so much that came out of the Valley. So I gotta carry that torch and sort of try to offset the naysayers.
I love how you're putting like your news and history like hat right now and talking a little bit about what you do for LA in a minute. From what I understand, the beginning of your channels, your concept, your show is a family story. Tell me how it started and about its evolution.
Good homework. So, all right. So my son was getting into screen time. He was about 8 years old at the time. And it's a constant battle. Anybody has kids, get off the screen, blah, blah, blah. 5 more minutes. Anyway, I finally am like, we're never going to win this battle. So I said, listen, you could be on the screen as long as you learn something. You need to tell me a fact that you learned, and then you can like watch whatever your crap. Like TikTok, which I was like, there's nothing worse than TikTok, right? Trends and dances, and that's what he had just discovered.
And was this like during the pandemic? Because I feel like that's when it's...
Right before. So actually, no, that's not true. It was during the pandemic because it was 2021, the winter of, and we were at a Christmas party with my wife's cousin. And my wife's cousins are younger. They're so cool and so smart. And I'm always, you know, what are the kids up to these days? You know, that kind of, you know, because I'm older. So just trying to not... be a kid, but at least be aware of the stuff. And they're always telling me, oh, Snapchat this and, you know, different social media. And they tell me, they're like, you know, we actually get our news from TikTok now. Mm. They're like, no, listen, CNN, LA Times, Washington Post, they all have TikTok feeds. Mm-hmm. The light bulb just goes off in my head. I'm like, okay, my son wants to watch TikTok. I'm going to start an LA news channel because this is how old I am. I've been trying to get him to read the newspaper. I still get the physical newspaper. And he's like, bro, people your age don't even read the newspaper anymore. Like, you're a dinosaur. And I was like, all right, he's kind of right. So I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'd literally, my original TikToks, I'd hold up the LA Times and just summarize two or three stories from the day, whatever was going on. You know, at the time that the mayoral race was a hot issue, Rick Caruso, Karen Bass, all. And it really started with that. And the TikTok algorithm is rewarding within like 2 weeks. I had 1,000 followers. And to put in perspective, I was a Twitter guy because, again, I love news. I had 1,000 followers after like 15 years on Twitter. And I was like, whoa, this TikTok something. But where it really took off is I'm always reading books on LA. I was reading a book by George Geary called Made in California about all the restaurants. And I did LA's 10 oldest fast food chains, and that was the first one that quote unquote went viral. And then I'm like, you know, people are into this issue because I'd always text my friends. I'd be like, hey, did you know Taco Bell was actually based on a place called Meat La Cafe across the street in San Bernardino? And he basically stole the idea for Tacos Dorados and he Americanized it, and that became Taco Bell. Sometimes people would care. Sometimes people would be like, dude, I'm sick of all your facts, bro.
You're that
like,
guy in the group chat.
Yes, I am that guy. So these are things that I'm always interested in because anywhere you go in LA, there's fun stuff. There's questions. There's history. And it's like palm trees. I'd always heard palm trees are not from LA, yet they're the consummate symbol of our city. So like, let's get into it. And then that's where it kind of mushroomed and grew into a thing with a good following that's really, really rewarding to do.
Can you say let's get into it again for us?
Let's get into it.
And that is your little phrase you use every episode, every video. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, you post almost daily on social. I have to ask you, you must be busy. Is this your full-time job?
It is, absolutely. And it's a career, and it's really turned into something that, again, when they say do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life, that always seems sort of like this unattainable pie in the sky. And something like this to have been able to have a big enough following and the podcast, had some traction and just generating revenue from it, it really is rewarding, because to be able to wake up every day and just be like, okay, where do I want to go, or what do I want to cover? Or for instance, even coming over here, I'm like, ooh, what are the things I need to cover, you know, next to Brian's studio over here. So it's just fun being able to chase down the stories that I want to chase and cover them how I want to cover them, and getting rewarded for that, I guess.
I feel like How to LA and LA Minute can be like cousins in the sense of, like, we try to show people, whether you've been here for forever like us or newcomers who are getting to learn the city, what would you say has been the biggest feedback you've gotten from audiences?
So awesome you say that. This was not planned, but I can truly say that one of the most rewarding things that I hear is, I'm a transplant to LA. I found your feed and it's helped me out so much. Whether it's just, and again, I'm not that quote unquote influencer that's like, let's go to the hottest restaurant, or like, here's the best dish and you need to eat this. But I think people just realizing that whatever neighborhood they're in, whether it's Los Feliz or Wilmington or Northridge, there is history there and there's a story there, and it just helps people feel more connected and not left out, because so much of the media is, again, Santa Monica, Beverly Hills, Hollywood. Well, if I'm not there, I guess I'm not really in LA. Or conversely, where the people in LA, there's this reputation of like, they're so fake and superficial and all this kind of stuff. But you're like, no, you got to go outside those areas and go into these communities where you see some of the most real and genuine and authentic people. And I kind of think that that's what people recognize with LA in a Minute is, you know, whether you're showing a small business or an LA American dream story, a place like Greenspan's in Southgate, that's one of the oldest clothing stores, or Tapatio, LA's favorite hot sauce, you know, was literally started in a garage outside of Vernon. King Taco, the first true taquero, like, and it gives a sense of pride in those neighborhoods. So transplants has been a recent one, but also people from their neighborhoods. Thank you for, like you at the top of the show, thank you for talking about Sylmar. Because who's talking about Sylmar? Well, people should be talking about Sylmar. So there you go.
We're going to be right back after a quick break.
Support for LAist comes from Latino Theater Company at the Los Angeles Theater Center, presenting the world premiere of Mix Mix, the Filipino Adventures of a German-Jewish Boy by Boney B. Alvarez. Inspired by true events from the life of Ralph Price, after escaping Nazi Germany, a newfound tropical refuge in the Philippines is upended when Japan invades the islands. On stage through June 16th. Tickets and information at latinotheaterco.org.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Pendarvis Harshaw, host of the Right Now-ish podcast. Every week, I talk to the people who are creating art and culture and spreading it to the universe.
As an artist, you always meet yourself. Every year, you're a different person.
Essentially, we normalize a space where you can show up as your authentic self.
Check out Right Now-ish, rooted in California's Bay Area, speaking to you.
It's so many people of color, so many queer people. It's like I'm being celebrated in my fullness.
Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, y'all, we're back with Evan Lovett, the LA in a Minute guy. Hey, Evan.
Hey.
So let's talk about the city for a little bit. You and I both grew up here. And when I find out when someone asks me, oh, where are you from? I'm like, oh, LA's my city. I grew up here, lived around in different places, Palm Springs, Washington, D.C. They are shocked that, like, they met someone who is homegrown, right? And there's this idea that people who live here move away or whatnot. When people ask you where you're from and you say LA, what is your experience like?
You're exactly right in the fact that we're still, by the way, I think the last stat I saw was 53% of LA residents are not from Los Angeles. So even still, it was 85%, by the way, in 1920. Always been a city of transplants. People are surprised with natives more so. There are more natives now than there have been. But, you know, I still get. I try not to read the comments, but I will always read and respond to DMs, by the way, if anybody wants to reach me, or emails, but comments, people just get in fights. But the point is, sometimes comments catch my eye. They're like, are you even from LA? Or like, this guy's not from LA, and trying to, and I'm like, come on. Like, first of all, I guess it doesn't matter in a sense, even though I am very proud to be an LA native. But if you got love for the city, then have love for the city, man. Yeah. Like, I lived in Seattle for a year. I lived in DC for a year. I still love those cities. I mean, I'm not out there doing a show, but people talk about Seattle and be like, oh, love Capitol Hill or like Pike's Place, you know, stuff like that. So I think that if your heart's in the right place and you're genuine and authentic, that's what matters most. I mean, it is cool. People DM me and be like, I'm a sixth generation Angeleno. I'm like, all right, that's pretty cool.
That's very unique.
Yeah, but my dad was born in Glendale, and I'm actually proud of that fact, that that he was a native even way back in the 50s. But that's an LA story, man, native or transplant. That's part of what makes LA.
You know, people say, like we're talking about, people say that LA is a city of transplants or a city of immigrants or that LA is Hollywood. What is your definition of Los Angeles?
Oh, damn, that's a good question, because I have not actually thought of that in those terms. Los Angeles is an extremely diverse community, and diverse not just in the sense of ethnicities and races, even though that's so important and so much of what it is too, but just the experience, the architecture, the art. Look, New York is an amazing city, but I feel like LA is the modern melting pot of where all the cultures and communities in the world have come together to sort of create this new future. And it's always been about the future. And I mean, there are 224 languages currently spoken in Los Angeles. That's insane. And again, you go back to the stats, like LA has more Koreans than anywhere outside of Korea, more Ugandans than anywhere outside of Uganda, more Australians than anywhere outside of Australia. And the list goes on and on. You know, somebody's gonna be like, you didn't talk about Salvadoranos. I get it, but there's so many of those. And I think that's super cool that whatever culture you're into, and thus whatever food you're into, you're gonna find like great people and a dope neighborhood spot. So I think that that's, you know, maybe the modern melting pot. You know, not to be cliche, but that's sort of how I think of it and what like the greatest part of it is.
I love that. Now I'm going on from like kind of like the positive and the beautifulness of Los Angeles. What is a kind of misconception people have about LA that you've heard from and you're like, hold on. Let's hold your horses there.
I think that in LA, it's actually a very small percentage of people who are fake and superficial. I think they have an outsized influence and impact, but it really gnaws at me, that stereotype and that trope, because again, like, just drive, take the train, take the bus, go to any neighborhood, and honestly, every single neighborhood is full of working class people from all different kinds of cultures that are really just trying to survive and trying to thrive and trying to grow. And I don't see a lot of that fakeness. But man, when you're going, even whether it's a Dodger game, whether it's Bay City's Deli, whether it's wherever you're going, Busy Bee in San Pedro, I mean, you stop and talk to people. And again, everybody just wants the same thing. They want to see LA shine. They're so thankful for what we have in this city. And so I think that the biggest misconception is LA people are fake, because yes, that exists, but that exists everywhere. And it's just magnified in Los Angeles. Go to the real neighborhoods and real communities and you're going to find awesome people.
So talking about spaces, where is your space in LA? It could be like a coffee shop that like you just want to bring up in the conversation, or something of a bigger experience.
I like this place called Catch 818, Mariscos 818. It was in Van Nuys. Well, it is still their original location, Van Nuys, right across from the Van Nuys airport. But they just opened a new location in Sherman Oaks. They have these like chicharrones, but it's like chicharrones de pescado, which are awesome. And I had never had anything like that. And it was delicious. And then their agua chile is awesome. Good place to have a beer, good music. You know, it's just, they sort of did it their own way. They started as a pop-up in Sylmar, by the way.
Okay.
And then look, like, at least in Valley terms, you're in Van Nuys, and now you have a place on Ventura Boulevard. You're like, dude, it's so awesome to see them, like, expanding and growing like that. So I got to give a shout-out to them for sure. Coffee, my wife's the one who does all the independent coffee shops. I want to give Casa Vega a shout out. That's a neighborhood institution, Sherman Oaks. Christy Vega is a friend, but their patio is awesome and fun. And that's the thing. Just discover, go any neighborhood, you're going to have these awesome spots that are so much fun. And like, find your own secret, because once somebody like me talks about it, it may not be a secret anymore.
One of the things and feedback that I've gotten from different types of people is like, LA can feel busy sometimes. So they all ask me like, oh, what do you do? Or like, where do you go to just kind of like chill? And my favorite place is a park. It is called Vista Hermosa. It's, I forget the area, the specific neighborhood, but it's essentially right off of historic Filipino town. Yes. And there's this view of downtown, and you're surrounded by trees. You can bring your dog there, have them on the leash and hang out with them. But a lot of people on Saturday and Sundays have like picnics and everyone's chilling. It's a diverse group of people, queer folks, it's older folks, it's younger folks. It's just like you see LA in a nutshell there. Yeah. And it's just beautiful because I love to see the downtown scene or the downtown building. So that's my spot. Do you have something similar for us?
You ready for this? Maybe this sounds, I don't know. I go to Forest Lawn in Glendale.
What?
Well, so I found it because, and I'm 0% religious, by the way. The world's largest religious painting is at Forest Lawn, Glendale. It's called The Crucifixion. And when I heard about it, I was like, I don't really have an interest in seeing that. Mm-hmm. But then I heard that it's as big as a freeway. And I'm like, what does that mean? 195 feet long, 40 feet tall, one painting. And the story behind it is incredible. The artist came from Poland. He had an audience with the Pope to get approval on the painting. He painted it, was only able to show it once in Europe. He got an invite to show it at the World's Fair in St. Louis. One thing led to another. They didn't have a big enough hall, so he had to store it in New York on his way to St. Louis, but he took his other artwork with him. The last day of the World Fair, there was a fire in the exhibit hall that destroyed all of his work.
Wow.
Okay, so he was like, okay, at least I got the magnum opus back in New York. Gets back to New York. He's going to take this crucifixion painting, 195 feet by 45 feet, by the way. It's huge. Take it back. Couldn't afford the tariff, had to leave it in New York. He ended up broke without ever having to display it again. The guy who founded Forest Lawn, Mr. Eaton, I think his first name was Hubert, somehow recovered this painting. He actually ended up finding it at the basement of a Chicago opera house like 30 years later, but built this huge hall, an auditorium just for the painting. So you go and see this, and it's free. It's open. This is truly awe-inspiring because it's like a 900-seat auditorium that's done so tastefully, and it's just so massive seeing the scale of this. But at the end of the day, Forest Lawn has some of the best views in Los Angeles. So the Hall of Crucifixion's actually got this big parking lot.
Mm.
And it's never really that crowded, right? So it's really like beautiful walking around there, and you get 360 degree views of Los Angeles. So that's a place that kind of go to like escape and reset and sort of appreciate like some LA history. And again, 360 degrees, because this city's so gorgeous, man. The Vernon Hill. We have a mountain range running through our city. You know how rare that is? There's no other American city that has a mountain range in the middle of the freaking city. Like, that's crazy.
So Forest Lawn.
Yeah, Forest Lawn.
You sold me on it, because I need another spot, honey, because Vista Hermosa is getting popular. All right. We recently posted on social media, and we asked folks to give us their perfect day in LA. Oh, no. This was a pitch to Rihanna, and the backstory is that she did a recent interview with Interview Magazine, and she said that LA has great doctors and that sort of thing, but she prefers New York City to kind of kickstart her day and figure out what she wants to do within like walking or like a short distance. If you had Miss Rihanna here in the studio, what would you tell her?
Man.
Hey, I want to help you plan your perfect day in LA. Here are two or three things I would do with you.
As far as what I would do, I can't speak for Rihanna, but a perfect day in LA. Wow. Okay, truthfully, I would work out or go take a hike first. Outside, by the way, not at a gym. Find a park, any local park, and just enjoy the fact that at 7:30 in the morning, it's going to be warm enough most of the time for you to be wearing like shorts and tank top. Get loose, start the day, get those endorphins going. A lot of people talk about breakfast burritos. I'm big on burritos. I'm not the hugest on breakfast. I know. And that's like such an LA thing. So I can't
be like,
you're
going to get canceled.
I know. And I respect it, but it's just so much to like start your day with, right? Like this big old burrito. But I want to pay homage to Los Angeles being the donut capital of the world, by the way. Thank you, Ted Noy, the donut king. who actually was responsible for the Cambodian culture and the people of Cambodia coming to Los Angeles, because he paved the way for all these donut stores that are now by majority run by Cambodians in Los Angeles. But I love a good fresh donut. DK's maybe, there's so many good ones. So I would start with like a donut, some coffee, and then where do you go during the day? Griffith Park, boom. So much to do at Griffith Park, so many things to see there. Train Town is even cool. But mostly just hiking and seeing everything that it has to offer. You got Los Feliz and Silver Lake on one side, Atwater Village. You got Glendale up there. Glendale, by the way, underrated community. All the way back to Universal City. Go to Griffith Park. If the Dodgers are playing, you got to say a Dodger game. I mean, that's incredible. Hit the farmers markets, man. In my town, Studio City Farmers Market in the morning. Take advantage of the produce. Take advantage of the fruit, the vegetables. Get a smash burger. I feel like LA is the capital of smash burgers. I'm told that I'm supposed to try this place heavy-handed that just opened. I know For the Win is good. Trips Burgers is good. LA Pizza is quote-unquote having a moment. I mean, listen, there's so much to do. Wherever you are, there's going to be something fun. There's going to be a story. And there's going to be an LA community behind it and an LA story behind it that you're like, dude, this is the LA American dream. And it's all over and it's in any neighborhood. Tell me where you're staying and I'll tell you what to see.
Evan, thank you so much for hanging out with me. And honestly, it was a cool conversation just about Los Angeles.
That was dope, man. I appreciate you, Brian. This was a lot of fun.
Alrighty, y'all, that is it for me today. I hope our conversation with Evan inspired you to love LA just a little bit more. And if you want to reach Evan, hit him up on his social at LA in a Minute. We'll be back next week with a new episode of How to LA. Please subscribe to keep up with us. Hasta luego, bye. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.